ShopForYourHealthNow.com.
Of coal for the worst of 2011. Who would you give a lump of coal to? So far on my list, pretty obvious from a political point of view. Could be from the world of sports, everyday life, let's face it, or politics, like I chose a couple of politicians. Feel free to weigh in on this. We're going to do it for the rest of the week, 800-259-5791. My name, by the way, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the show. If you just happen to find us, thanks for tuning in. We zig and zag in a couple of different directions. I don't care what your stripes are, left of left, right of right. As long as you want to have an opinion on the overnight highway, you found a home, so give us a call. My lumps of coal, by the way, have already been handed out to Nancy Pelosi so far, more for the insider trading stuff, trying to deny she had information that helped make her more money and swears it is a right-wing smear tactic. And then Anthony Weiner, that's an obvious one. That's what I call low-hanging fruit because it's easy to pick on a Weiner when he was such a dunderhead by taking pictures of his package, sending it to a woman that he met on Facebook, and sending all kinds of things out to women that he had met through the internet, then trying to somehow weasel out of it. He was a rising star in the Democratic Party, but his star crashed, and crashed hard. And forever and a day, he had his seat in New York, a Democratic foothold, and that went to the Republicans, an unknown businessman, because even the people in his district just could not stomach it, so they went in a different direction. So, thinking of lumps of coal, easily in the past, if I had done this, and I've never done it on a show, I could have given one to Kim Jong-il, but again, that would be pretty easy, too. He's a dictator thug who didn't do much in public other than appear with his dark sunglasses, but he's gone, dead. He also, in his death, controlled the propaganda that was pumped out because the reason he died was said to be working himself to death. Really, he died on a train of a heart attack. Either way, he's gone, but another dictator, a piece of the apple that didn't fall too far from the tree when it hit the ground, Kim Jong-un, is now in charge. He's in his late 20s, and I think you can expect more of the same. In a weird way, and I don't know how I'm making this stretch in my mind, but when I think of the kid, Kim Jong-un, I think of the days of English royalty when children, a couple of times, children took over the throne because they were next in line and they were just punk kids. So this guy is just a punk kid. What happens with him? I mean, North Korea is unpredictable. And intelligence-wise, we don't really have much information on North Korea. In fact, there's some scuttlebutt as to how come it took days to know that he was dead. How come we didn't have the information right away? We weren't on track with that. The reason why is because there is very little known about North Korea. He did do a good job of shutting down what he didn't want out and pumping out propaganda without a doubt. From North Korea, we seg into the issue I so desperately don't want to talk about, but I feel compelled to mention it at the top of the show because so many of you are still emailing me about the payroll tax cut. And really, for some reasons, like Dottie said to me, you know what, here, I'm just going to read you her email. Dottie said to me, Kate, here's my concern about the payroll tax cut. Now that we've had it, and I understand about the how do we pay for it and all that other stuff, but now that we've had it, my family really, believe it or not, can't afford to lose $1,000. You know what $1,000 means to me? It's gasoline, some food in some cases. So if it is only $50 every 2 weeks or whatever it amounts out to be, and even if some of that would be theoretically eaten up by the taxes in the check, I will feel the difference, trust me, and I think my family will feel it too. So what they gave us, if they take it away, it'll be definitely felt in this family, and I can only imagine others would feel the same way. Well, you know, that's the problem. The problem is, okay, you didn't have it before, then it's in the checks, and if you're counting on it, then yes, it's because you look at the number, you're looking at the number, and the number will be less. If it's $25 less, if it's $50 less, whatever it is, a check, yeah, you'll notice that because you'll see it. And so you'll psychologically, if nothing else, you'll feel it. You know, part of that whole thing is about the number and what the number it means. If it's just a little bit lower, it does affect you, and certainly with gasoline and the things you mentioned, of course, I'm not going to argue with that. A little bit here, a little bit there, every bit counts, doesn't it? I think something's going on besides people spending a lot of money. I think people have short fuses because I've never heard so many people lean on their horns for no reason and driving around. And it seems like people are filled with a little bit of rage. I don't know if it's all of this political nonsense or their economic woes or what it is. But how about that crazy story out of Florida where a middle school teacher is now looking at a battery charge? You know what she did? How do you get a battery charge, right? She threw a bunch of food back through a drive-through window because she got into it with a McDonald's employee. And, of course, once again, it was all captured on video. Surveillance camera was rolling. And it was a Saturday. So what does she do? It's Saturday. It's not even 10 o'clock in the morning. She ordered about $20 worth of food. She got into an argument with a worker. And then she just decided she had enough, so she threw everything back, take back the food. And what she was doing, she's throwing the food back saying, take back the food and give me my money back. The teacher, she tossed it through the window when the guy did not give the refund. And now she's in trouble because of it. Unfortunately, some of the food hit the guy in the face and the chest. The breakfast items, a hash brown flying out of the bag and through the air. And it's all there on a film. So she's a sixth grade teacher at a middle school. She was booked into a county jail on Saturday, and she was just released. You can imagine what this does to her. That's it. This could be it probably for her. Maybe for her career, or she has to be re-racked to someplace else. She's a geography instructor. She has a history degree from the University of South Florida and a master's degree in education. So now she puts herself squarely in a position where they could toss her out. She tossed the food in anger. Was it worth it? $20 worth of McDonald's food? Oh, sometimes you just gotta rein it in. We Can Count coming up next.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold, or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
And boy, there's a lot of things to count lately, isn't there? How about this? Sarah Palin says it's not too late to enter the Republican race. Oh, boy. Is she talking about that she's going to jump into the race? She was asked about it by the Fox Business Network about the likelihood that she become a candidate. Remember, here's your number, 2008. She was the Republican VP nominee. And she says, who knows what will happen in the future, leaving it a little bit vague. She's good at doing that. There are people that would love for Sarah Palin to run. But at this point, you start to get into the caucuses and the primaries, and it becomes a little bit too late. There are four people in Congress who got countrywide VIP loans. Doesn't that just infuriate you? And if you need a refresher here, do you remember Countrywide? Oh, yeah. You used to see it all over the place. I remember somebody telling me one time they worked for Countrywide and how much money they were making. Oh, they're making so much money. Hand over fist. They're floating in a sea of money. Who knows if they were one of the subprime mortgage people? Probably. This was just somebody I met in passing, trust me. So there are four sitting. They're not even ex-Congress folks who got a chunky loan as part of their notorious VIP program. If you were friends with Angelo Mozilla, you got the treatment. So the Ethics Committee, the House Ethics Committee, is looking into whether or not, I guess, they can nail these people. Let's put it that way. And I hope they can, and I hope that their names become public. I mean, we could probably try to twist and figure it out, but, you know, was there any wrongdoing there? If you remember, there are others that did get that treatment in the past, like Chris Dodd, who said he had no idea about that. What are you talking about? He had no clue that that really had happened. And, of course, Mozilla's had to pay a fortune in fines and whatnot, but it doesn't matter. He has a fortune. He could afford to pay the fines, but the rest of us couldn't afford what Countrywide did to us. That's the thing that really stinks, because we end up carrying the burden. You know what? And there's something about that, and I guess you just can't, you can't look at it that way, but I know a lot of you feel the same way. You're that person. You just wanted, I just got to do the right thing. I'm going to walk the line. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to be helpful to my neighbor, pick up the trash that blew in from his yard into mine and made it look crappy, but I'll just pick it up because he's not going to pick it up, and I'll put it away. You know what I'm talking about. You always signal. You let the person in, and then you feel like, wow, I do all that, and I see everybody else skirting the system and getting ahead. And that's when you finally decide, I don't like this anymore. I think I've had enough. Speaking of skirting the system and power to the people, people complained about the fees that that fabulous company, Bank of America, was going to heap on everyone for using their ATM cards. If you used your ATM card every month, they were going to try to, well, they were going to charge you a $5 fee for the pleasure of using it. So check this out. Bank of America closed before closed below $5 a share on Monday for the first time since we've had a bear market in March of 2009. The stock closed, to be exact, at $4.99. That's down 4%. It dropped as low as $4.92. They haven't had it rain on them like that since, like I said, March 11th in 2009. And, of course, all of this is about financial institutions and the worry about the economy globally, too, and our exposure to sovereign defaults in Europe. Bank of America is worried about whether it has enough capital to absorb mortgage-related losses and meet new standards. How about that? So with more than 275 million shares traded so far, the volume weighted average price was 5.0336. Wow. Bank of America. All right, this is one that might have affected some of you listening to my voice. Snow. Pre-holiday travel across central U.S. ended up being just a nightmare for some people. About 100 rescues along one stretch of Texas highway. Sadly, you hate to hear about fatalities. There was a fatal accident in eastern Colorado where a guard and an inmate were killed when a prison van lost control on an icy highway. Eight other inmates and a prison employee were hospitalized. They had moderate to serious injuries. But in the panhandle in Texas, they really did have to rescue people on Interstate 40. It's a major east-west road that was closed Monday night from Amarillo into New Mexico. I've been on that road many, many, many times as I used to live in New Mexico. So from northern New Mexico and the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, northwest Kansas, blizzard conditions, that whole whiteout thing was going on. So road crews were crawling around all over the place to try to help people. They knew that they were stuck, and they're trying to figure out a way to get them off the roads. It was that bad. It was a terrible, terrible storm, obviously. And in those parts of, like, Santa Fe, north of Santa Fe and into Colorado, a place called Clayton, New Mexico, was pretty bad. They say that phones were ringing off the hook if there were hotels anywhere because people were looking for a place to stay. And there were, you know, in some of these patches, there weren't a lot of places to find. And that's just the first one. First one. We told you about this story the other day, sad story, about the Russian rig workers and the freezing water. And rescuers were saying on Monday It'd be an absolute miracle of miracles if they found anyone else that was breathing after a drilling rig sank with 67 people on board. And this was off of Russia's far eastern coast. The rig's owner said a raft was sighted in the water, so they don't know what that means. If they spotted it, could there be someone still there drifting, just drifting along? And of the 67 people in the rig, 14 were saved. But the rest, you know, with 20-foot waves, and temperatures were -7 degrees Celsius, it really, really hurt the rescue efforts, including just pulling, frankly, bodies out of the water. That was tough, too, because they weren't able to find very many people. The rig was built in Finland, they say, in 1985, and they were working on a minor gas production project, and they're looking into a criminal investigation as to what possibly could have happened here, if there was something that could have been prevented. But, wow, what a tragic thing, and the temperature is so cold, so that really if anyone did plunge into the water, I think it'd be pretty tough to survive that. Not for very long. You certainly wouldn't be able to do that. It would amount to the fact that you would go into hypothermia. And that rig is a terrible, terrible rig, an awful rig that it sounds like, from some of the stuff I've read, should be shut down. Russia spills about 5 million tons of crude oil into waterways and into some other areas with their crappy equipment and the pipelines, and of course disregard for safety or any kind of regulations in this whole thing. So what's sad is the workers are the ones who ultimately are in trouble because they're on this antiquated equipment, and they're rolling the dice as to whether they're going to make it back or not. And here is an example of tragedy striking. Hey, a couple of quick reminders. Don't forget, in our third hour on Thursday, we do have Nail the Score for people we hope that are still around. Nail the Score, maybe you'll be a winner right before Christmas. Randomly, our supercomputer picks the game of the week. You call in and tell us who you think is gonna win. We're kicking the can down the road, and we're happy to be doing it, so stay with us.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-800-497-8345. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-800-497-8345. That's 1-800-497-8345.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold-weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand-crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panel to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Very excited about our next guest. He's in the wings in our very expensive virtual green room. We're going to introduce you to Jason Bloom. He's the founder and president of Bloom Strategic Consulting. You say, well, what's that? Well, he's been a jury consultant for 15 years. How many of you, we've talked about this, have been on juries? How many of you have been witnesses? How many of you have been nervous? Shockingly, I could raise my hand and say I was one of those people. I was a witness in a case once, and we didn't have the attorney didn't have a consultant like Jason, so we really didn't get too much prep. And you think it's okay, you know what you're saying, and then you suddenly get in the courtroom and things change dramatically. Hey, Jason, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, how, I gotta ask you this question. How do you go into this business? What was it that made you pursue this path? Why the jury consulting thing? Did you see that there was a big need for it? There was a chasm there, or what was it that drew you to it?
It's an interesting question you ask. I get asked that a lot. Really, I liked psychology. I liked psychology a lot, but I did not want to be a therapist or a counselor or work with people who have mental illnesses. I also like law. I liked law a lot. I was fascinated, though, with the courtroom. So I didn't really want to be a lawyer unless I could only be in the courtroom. So I found this jury consulting arena, which was very, very new. Weren't a lot of people who were doing research on jury decision making. Weren't a lot of people who were actually practicing as jury consultants back in the early 90s. And I found it, discovered it, and set out to do it, and have been doing it since.
So how does it work? So if I'm a lawyer and I've got a big civil case, typically is it the lawyer or the company that might come to you and ask for your services to you know, set up a mock trial to go through a shadow jury, that kind of thing. What's the usual course?
It's mostly coming from the outside counsel, but sometimes I'm getting calls from in-house counsel at corporations. But mainly it's from the outside lawyers who I've developed relationships with or who learn about me through other trial lawyers around the country.
And you've done over 300 mock jury studies. So what have you learned? What are some common things that you see in jurors that you look for when they're going through the process? Let's say you have a case and you're going through the process of weeding people out and trying to get the right people for the for your particular client.
Well, I view jurors like icebergs. What you see above water are the demographics, age, ethnicity, gender, things like that. What's below the water are attitudes, life experiences, and predispositions, which I found are much more predictive of their verdict orientation at the outset of a case. So when I'm doing these mock jury studies, I'm partially doing juror profiling. I'm trying to figure out, are there some life experiences or attitudes out there that are going to predispose certain people to be against or perhaps for my client's case and my client's positions. More importantly, though, in the mock trials and the focus groups, what we're trying to do there is really eliminate the guesswork. What we're doing is testing out the case to see what resonates, to learn what's important, to learn what's not important at the jury level. What I've really learned in doing all of this, which is still fascinating to me, is there's a gap probably the size of an ocean between what lawyers and witnesses want to tell juries or decision makers and what these juries actually want to see, actually want to hear, and actually care about towards making their ultimate decisions and rendering verdicts. My entire career operates within that space between the lawyers and the ultimate audience, the jury.
Yeah. Do you find, Jason, because I come from a family of lawyers, and they speak legalese. It's like a foreign language, and I always tell them, dumb it down. Do you find sometimes that the lawyers use big words and that kind of loses a jury?
I really, really do. And what I find myself doing a lot is teaching these lawyers and witnesses that their audience, who is a jury, are blank slates. They really don't know anything about the subject matter. They actually feel unqualified to judge cases about, you know, complex contracts and stuff like that. But that's the sandbox we're playing in. So while we can move the jury up a little bit in terms of their understanding, it's a lot easier to move the lawyers and the witnesses down to their level. I often tell witnesses and lawyers, you have to meet your audience. You have to meet your jury where they are rather than bring them to where you are.
Yeah. To explain to the audience, because there's people listening all over the country, like in Lexington, Kentucky, in New York City, in Dallas, Texas, in Austin, Texas, in Illinois, all kinds of people that have been all through the systems. Many of them have been jurors. We've talked about it often on this show. We've talked about whether or not you can get a fair trial. In fact, I'll ask you that question because you've seen it. You're there. You're looking in the fishbowl. Do you think in this country we can still get a fair trial?
Absolutely. But inside the courtroom, what you have to know is perception is reality. I'm a firm, firm believer in the jury system. I believe juries get it right. But juries get it right based on their perception of the facts, not the facts. So it's the lawyers and or the witnesses' job to create those perceptions. In one regard, you could think of lawyers and witnesses as nothing more than perception managers for the ultimate decision maker for the jury.
Yeah. You do these things called shadow juries, and I think people would find this fascinating. Explain a shadow jury and how that works.
Shadow juries are very much behind the scenes. And so what takes place is during an actual trial, we will hire people to act as spectator jurors or shadow jurors. What they basically do would be watch the trial from the gallery, from the audience section, as if they were jurors. They're only inside the courtroom when the actual jury is in there. And instead of going home at the end of the day, which the actual jury would do, they would go to a conference room, a conference center, a hotel ballroom, a meeting room after the conclusion of the trial day and be interviewed about what they thought was important, what they thought was not important, their impressions of the trial proceedings for that particular day. After the interviews, the feedback, the data coming from those interviews would be put into a report that is then submitted later that evening to the trial team, whichever side that we're working for. So in essence, the lawyers that have hired us are getting sort of a halftime report about how they're doing at trial every single night. They can use this to navigate their trial strategy, and they can also use it to eliminate a lot of the guesswork that's associated with wondering what on earth does the jury think.
Yeah, and that guesswork can really mean the difference. If you're talking about criminally, you and I both know that could mean maybe jail time for somebody. If you're talking about civilly, it could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars. So I think you have to take every hedge that you can. Have you ever seen, and I'm sure you have, in talking about this, a lawyer completely revamp his case because of things that you learned with a shadow jury?
Absolutely. I've seen corporations tear up settlement checks based on it, but I have seen lawyers and witnesses completely revamp the angle they were going, their strategy. What usually happens, both in the mock jury studies, actually, and in the shadow jury, is what these lawyers and witnesses and trial teams as a whole learn is what they thought was really, really important doesn't matter to the jury. And what they thought was very, very insignificant, maybe a minor fact, maybe a minor detail, is extremely important at the jury level. And again, what we're really trying to do as lawyers and witnesses is meet the needs and expectations of our audience, of our jury. And like I said before, there's this space between what's important to the lawyers and witnesses and what's important to the juries. My entire career is built around bridging that gap.
Yeah. In all the different cases that you've covered, because you really specialize in a lot of different things, really anything. When I say anything, meaning it could be medical malpractice, it could be bad faith, it could be oil and gas, it could be aviation, it could be securities, legal malpractice. I mean, certainly I don't have to list this all back to you, but for the listeners now hearing us talk about this, what's the toughest thing to do? What's the toughest of all these kinds of cases that drag out? Intellectual property, is that up there?
Intellectual property is difficult too, but you know, what's really difficult about all this is teaching the attorneys and the witnesses. And I say it's difficult, but it's actually a challenge that I enjoy. Teaching the lawyers and witnesses where the rubber meets the road. Teaching them what the jury really cares about, what the audience really cares about. It's just like if we were all voters. And look, we really, really care about the economy. We're going to vote for a governor. We're going to vote for a mayor or a president that's really, really strong on the economy. But we've got these politicians who are talking to us about healthcare. What we really want to know is what's going on with the economy. They're telling us about healthcare. So again, it's bridging that gap. It's working in that space in between what the presenter, what the lawyer, what the witness thinks is important and what the audience actually thinks is important is the challenge.
Yeah. I mentioned at the top of this segment's called It's Your Business, and this is your baby. This is your business. You've been a jury consultant for over 15 years, but you've had your own shingle out for coming up on 5 years, over 350 cases. What are you most proud of?
What I'm most proud of is the kinship and the friendships and the relationship that I've developed with some of the top trial lawyers in the United States. I mean, I was looking back at it the other day, and I said, wow. You know, I can't believe that this particular lawyer, this particular company has this much trust and faith in me. I'm excited about it. Every day is a new challenge. But that's really what I look back on is this opportunity to really work with top level, very sophisticated, very intelligent lawyers who really want to do a good job. And, you know, have looked to me to sort of help them, again, bridge this gap between what they think a jury wants to know and wants to hear and what a jury actually wants to hear. What I bring to the table, since I'm a psychologist by training, what I bring to the table is an understanding of the psychology of jury decision making. Why juries do what they do and what the lawyer, what the witness needs to do about it. That's where I come from.
Jason Bloom, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. Check out Jason Bloom, the founder and president of Bloom Strategic at bloomstrategy.com. It's B-L-O-O-M strategy.com. Thanks, Jace.
Thank you.
has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280, but now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Yesterday, officially, or actually a couple days ago, officially, the last tanks, if you will, rolled out of Iraq, and meaning that there's no more troops, so-called troops. I say so-called because we still have people that are there, but they're State Department people who have to, by the way, have protection. But none of our troops, none of the heavy artillery is there any longer. That was the agreement, if you remember, back in the Bush administration that Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister, had set up with George Bush, president, of course, at the time, that was going to happen. So it's been interesting to watch the Obama administration also, I think, manipulate that a little bit. But it doesn't matter, because here's what we're talking about. What's going to happen to this country now? And, of course, we've been talking all along, handicapping this with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. And he said right from the get-go, years ago, because I think we've been talking to him now for 2 years, that inevitably, once we withdraw, especially the way this has been set up, it's doomed to fail. This country is doomed to fail. Jeff, do you still stand by that? Are we already seeing problems?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, obviously I don't have a crystal ball, but if you're a student of history and have a little bit of common sense, it's not a hard one to figure out. As I said before, you know, we were in the fourth quarter of the football game in Iraq. We were ahead 2 touchdowns. And President Obama pulled all of our, players off the field, and let's see what happens. Well, the country is splintering apart along these fault lines, both religious and ethnic. The Kurds in the north have nothing to do with the centralized government. The Shiites that are influenced by Iran control most of the government. In fact, today they issued an arrest warrant for the senior Sunni leader which is the other religious segment there in Iraq, who happens to be the vice president of the country, for his arrest. So you've got these fault lines that are going to be exploited by Iran, by Al-Qaeda in Iraq, by insurgents, and the country's going to spiral down into violence and chaos until a strong man arises out of the fog there and puts himself in power.
Yeah. What do you think of the biggest mistake was in Iraq, the situation, how it was handled?
In the Bush administration or the Obama administration?
In both.
Yeah, the Bush administration, their biggest mistake is they tried to do it on the cheap. Once we conquered Saddam Hussein, we dismantled the entire Iraqi military, which led to, again, anarchy in the streets. We had no idea, no plan for the anarchy that occurred, and we didn't have enough soldiers on the ground to do anything. So finally, the president got it right, President Bush did in 2006 with the surge, where we went in and we killed large numbers of people and showed them that, you know, this is what we want, is stability, and we will get stability, and we got stability. And so his biggest mistake, again, was, I think, going on the cheap in the very beginning and having to correct that. The Obama administration's biggest mistake is schizophrenic. They have no idea what they're doing. And a lot of dishonesty, quite frankly. The deal you referred to between President Bush and the Iraqi government was that if we didn't negotiate a new status of forces agreement, we would be out by December of 2011. But everybody anticipated that a new status of forces agreement would be negotiated. Everybody knew that we needed to stay there for a few more years past 2011 to ensure stability. But the Obama administration, failed to get a new agreement. But they never really wanted a new agreement. I mean, he wanted to keep a political campaign promise to get the soldiers out of Iraq, and that's what he did. He put politics ahead of the interests of the Iraqi people and over our own national interests. So now we have sacrificed a lot of blood, a lot of treasure, mm-hmm. and for naught.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Speaking of a lot of treasure, what about war reparations? Do you think we can expect to see them anytime soon?
There's going to be no reparations from Iraq. There's no reparations for the $1 billion plus we spent in Libya. There'll be no reparations from Afghanistan. We're not going to get anything from NATO, the UN, or the countries involved.
Do you think, and you said this at the beginning, talking about surrounding countries, you think Iran is just licking their chops now that everybody, U.S. forces-wise, has exited?
No question about it. I mean, the Iranians have long been at odds with Iraq under Saddam, of course, and they see this as an opportunity to expand their power base. They have Shiite militias all over that country, and a lot of the terror during the Bush and Obama years was directly sponsored, supplies supported by the Iranians. We have direct evidence of their armaments being shipped over, of their agitation of the Shiites. And that's not even in question. So yeah, they're going to fill this power vacuum, if they can. And we're going to see a lot of trouble in Iraq, unfortunately.
So then if we were to look at, because of course we're in a presidential year coming up, 2012, and it depends, is Obama repeat or is there somebody new in place? If Iraq explodes, does the United States go back in?
No, it's like Vietnam. Once we're out, it doesn't matter what happens to that country, we'll never be back in Iraq.
Mm. Wow. So you think of the people after everything, and like you said, all the blood, all the treasure, everything that was invested. What a way to end this thing and close the curtain, don't you think?
Oh yeah, and a lot of the Iraqis that supported us as interpreters, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of them are going to be killed. They've already had a lot of them killed, beheaded. And so there's going to be retribution amongst the radicals against those that were moderates and tried to support, greater freedom for their country.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about a couple of other quick things. Of course, the other big news that happened over the weekend, Kim Jong Il dead at the age of 69. So that, dictatorship is over. However, it looks like his youngest son takes his place if, in fact, that happens. I would imagine there's going to be some tense times ahead for North Korea, but also South Korea. And people will say to me, well, why do we care? We still have soldiers. How many soldiers do we have on that parallel line?
About 28,000. In South Korea, we've got about 28,000. Most of them pushed up on the DMZ pointing towards North Korea. So we do have an interest. But if the North Koreans come screaming across the zone there, the number of forces we have is really a tripwire. They're not going to be able to do very much. The new dear leader is Kim Jong-un, who is in his late 20s, but he is a chip off the old block. He's been handpicked by the Communist Party there that's in control of the country right now to replace his dad. And even if this youngster wanted to do something different and had some ideas about, you know, greater freedom or democracy, it would never happen because he would be disappeared very quickly. So he's almost a captive. He's almost a figurehead because the Communist Party rules that country, and they have a very secretive, high-level group of individuals, an oligarchy, if you will, that doesn't want to see things change. And we saw two missiles fired today just to kind of let the world know that, hey, you know, nothing's changing here, folks. So don't sing the Hillary Clinton tunes that we're going to have better relations. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why people think that there was going to be a big switch. That, what was I reading something the other day? Maybe we'll have a United Korea. Ooh, a United Korea? I don't think so. Do you?
No. As long as Red China, Communist China, is backing North Korea, which they are, North Korea will stand. When Red China stops backing them, the country will collapse under its own weight, as communism always does. It can't sustain itself. But Red China sees this as a way to put a thumb in our eyes, and they're going to keep this surrogate nation in power for a long, long time.
Yeah. One last one. Bradley Manning, they've started the whole preliminary hearing stuff with him, with witnesses and whatnot, talking about the documents that he supposedly gave to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, where he had leaked all this stuff. And you mentioned, in fact, about some of the translators and whatnot from Iraq who were beheaded, and there was a thought that maybe some of that could have possibly come from some of the documents that were leaked, because initially they names weren't blacked out. What do you think happens here? Because he's, of course, there's all kinds of counts the military has him on, and it could be everything from life in prison to just stripping him of anything militarily.
Yeah, he's going to be convicted, and then during the sentencing portion, they're going to put forth evidence of what harm he did, and depending on what they can produce, he could be facing life in jail. I'm surprised that his defense counsel hasn't offered a plea bargain, because it's pretty clear that this guy is guilty of tapping into these secret documents and releasing the documents. I don't know what his defense is going to be, but apparently he's engaging in his right to defend himself, and he's pled not guilty, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no kidding. Before we let you fly, St. Mary's School of Law, of course, in San Antonio, what are a lot of the people focusing on, a lot of the kids focusing on that are going through your school now?
Well, our Center for Terrorism Law, this law school, they're, you know, obviously they're looking at the economy as number one thing, and how are things getting better or worse. Luckily, Texas has a booming economy here, under a system of free enterprise, no state taxes, and we understand that that's how you promote growth, and the Obama administration doesn't quite understand that yet, neither do folks from the far left, but Texas is looking good. Our center is moving along. We're still representing soldiers wrongfully accused of committing illegal acts in combat zones, and we continue to do that.
All right, keep on keeping on. Happy holidays, and we appreciate you, Jeff Atticott, as always, for coming on America Tonight. Thanks.